It's amazing how the Lord orchestrates things, just puts things together. I know this week, Brother Harry fell and broke a rib. And the gentleman that registered him when he went to get checked out is here. Harry and Brenda invited him, and he did not know the Lord as his Savior, but he's given me permission to let you know that in his seat right there, his name's Tom, that he just now asked the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart to save him and to be his Savior. And I want him to know that he's among friends. We're glad you're here. And Brother Harry, the broken rib, God meant it unto good, didn't he? See what I'm saying? God meant it unto good, friends. He's in the details of life. Even in the things that we don't quite understand, it's okay. God understands it. And we give him the glory for it. And so proud of Tom and these others. Isn't it a blessing to see a couple come and trust Christ in Sunday school? Isn't that good? And a seven-year-old girl come. I mean, right here in the midst of all this, I want to know Jesus. I'm telling you, God's doing something, friends. Praise the Lord for it. You earned your money today. Amen. God bless you. I think Becca's going to stop singing anyway. I think last time she sung by herself, I had her sing hers three or four times. So anyway, thank the Lord for it. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Thank you for being here today. God bless you. We've already been in the presence of God. We give him glory for it. And today, I think it's very appropriate, this point that comes out in this opening part of this chapter. I'll be here all day long. Not all day, as in I'm going to keep you all day. But anyway, this chapter this morning and tonight. Let's read the opening seven verses. Keep thy foot when thou goest to the house of God. Be more ready to hear than to give the sacrifice of fools, for they consider not that they do evil. Be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. For God is in heaven, thou upon earth, therefore let thy words be few. For a dream cometh through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. When thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. Suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel that it was an error. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the work of thine hands? For in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. But fear thou God. If you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to notice a phrase in verse 1. It's the phrase, be more ready to hear. Be more ready to hear. And I'm preaching to you this morning on be ready to hear. Let's pray together. This is our Old Testament book we're studying through together. And we're beginning this chapter as we've already preached on the opening four. Let's pray. Father, thank you for what you've already done. We give you praise for it. We realize that human beings cannot save anybody. But we can point people to you who can. And I pray that you help these folks who even today has already put their faith and trust in Jesus. Help them to go forward. Help us to be faithful to them and their soul. And may you deal with us thoroughly this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In this chapter, we read more of the words of Solomon concerning life. And as I was studying this passage, different things came out that we can all learn from. And looking at these things can be a great help to our own lives today. Now you'll notice in how Solomon, verse number 1, says, be ready to hear. This word ready here means to consider attentively. In other words, pay attention. Sit up. Don't let this go in one ear and out the other ear. The Lord dealt with me about how the things that Solomon speaks about in this chapter needed to be paid attention to then, and still needs to be paid attention to today. You know, sometimes it's good to shut our mouths. Amen. And purposely listen attentively to what God is trying to tell us. This is the case in this chapter. So let us all sit up and pay attention to what is being taught in these verses. Let us be ready to hear what these things are that can help us in our lives today. So if you're keeping notes, here it is. Be ready to hear, number one. You ready? Here we go. Be ready to hear, first of all, about worship. We see this in verses 1 through 7. The first major subject that Solomon deals with are these verses that I read to you here, and it has to do with the true worship of God. He speaks about when one goes to the house of God and how he should act accordingly. The word worship means to adore, to crouch to prostrate oneself in homage or reverence to. You know, it's a good and it's a right thing to worship God alone. May I say this to us? Revelation 22:9 says, worship God. Now, we live in a day where people give their worship to somebody or something other than God. Many, many people worship many things. By the way, what you worship is what you adore. And may I say this to you? I love my wife, but I'm not to worship her. I love my children, but I'm not to worship them. I love this church, but I'm not to worship this church. I read today in my devotions, remember when they came to Peter and Peter showed up and he fell down at Peter's feet and began to worship him. And Peter picked him up and said, get up, man. I'm paraphrasing. Get up, man. All I am is a human being. The fact is this. Only God deserves worship. Only the Lord deserves worship. And we see right here, of all places, in the middle of Ecclesiastes, we learn great things about how we should worship God. I want to give you several things here. This is as far as I'll get this morning. Several things about worship of God. Right here in these verses. Number one, here we go, found in verse number one. When we consider about worship, the first thing we notice about it is it should be sincere. It should be sincere. Matter of fact, in verse number one here, we read how we're to keep our feet when we go to the house of God. Now, what's that mean? Does that mean we're supposed to hold one foot and hop in the house of God? No, that's not what that means. It means this: make sure your feet are on the right pathway. You keep your feet when you come to the house of God. And verse number one says, and be more ready to hear than to give a sacrifice of a fool. When we consider that verse and what he's talking about, it can be summarized by saying this: when we approach the house of God to worship God, it should be in sincerity of heart and a willingness and a readiness to obey, because the Lord desires our obedience more than our sacrifice. In other words, be right with God, make sure your feet are right, and be ready to obey whatever he says. We are to approach God's house reverently with a readiness to obey whatever he tells us to do. This is what he's saying in verse number one. One man put it this way: hearing the sermon says you are sincere in your worship, whereas simply offering sacrifices says you are going through the motions of form, which can be done without heart. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. That's 1 Samuel 15:22. See, many go to church and do no more than just go through the motions of some kind of form of service. Their heart's not in their worship, and their walk will give no evidence of worship, yet they're not aware of the evil in their insincere worship. In this verse, here's what he's saying: stop giving sacrifices without being willing to obey what God tells you to do. That's what he's saying. The word "be more ready to hear," it means to hearken, to listen with the intent of doing what it says. And Solomon tells us here that when we come to the house of God to worship the Lord, it's to be done with our heart being right, watching our feet, making sure our feet are on the right pathway, and then come to the house of God with the intent of hearing what he says in order to obey what he tells us to do. The purpose of coming into the house of God is to listen and learn, not to storm in with an agenda. Fear, reverence, and honor should characterize our attitude towards God when we draw near to him. We're to be careful when we interact with God that we walk carefully before him, fully obeying what he expects us to do. I like the way one man explained it. He said, see that your heart is engaged, not in the trifles of the moment, but in the realizing of eternity. Not in company with thy friend. In other words, don't just come to church to be with friends, but in communion with thy Lord. Oh, it is awful to trifle at the church door. Our business is with the High and Holy One. Utterly revolting, therefore, is that service which is not imbued with a reverential spirit. The point here, number one, about worship in verse one, that it should be sincere. The point in this is we're to make sure we approach God with our heart in sincerity and not think our sacrifices are impressive to Him. We should sacrifice to God, but not without sincerity, a clean heart, and a willingness to hear and obey what He tells us to do. Let me ask you a question. Are you guilty of giving things to God, but you've yet to give yourself to Him? Are you guilty of doing service, but your heart's not in it? See, the first thing about worship here that we should be ready to hear about is that it should be sincere from the heart. Number two, second thing about worship, we see secondly here that we should remember where God is. Remember His position. Verses 2 and 3, be not rash with thy mouth. Let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God. Here it is, for God is in heaven, and thou upon earth. Therefore let thy words be few. Wow. In these verses we read how it said that we are to let our words be few. Let me ask you a question. Were your words few this week? Or do you have a mouth that just kind of runs off? Solomon here is giving some great advice. He said, let your words be few and not rash when you come into God's presence. The reason Solomon gives for this is because he said God is in heaven and we are upon earth. In other words, when we speak before God, here's what he's saying. We are not speaking to our equal. No, no, no. When we speak to God, we are speaking to the one who is above it all. We are speaking to the one who is all-knowing, all-powerful, eternal, holy, righteous. Our worship should remember God's exalted position. When we remember God's exalted position, it should help us not be rash with our words or hasty with our words before Him. But rather, when we realize, wait a minute, I'm talking to God, the one who's in heaven and I'm upon earth. When we remember that, it should rather cause us to weigh our words and make sure that they are appropriate and well-pleasing in His sight. Matthew 6:9 says this, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Psalm 113:4, the Lord is high above all nations, and his glory above the heavens. Psalm 97:9, for thou, Lord, art high above all the earth, thou art exalted above, far above all gods. The bottom line here is this. We're talking about let us hear, let us be ready to hear. Be ready to hear what? About worship. What about worship? It should be from the heart, number one, verse one. It should be sincere, verse number one. Number two, it should be done while we're remembering who He is, how high He is. This is God who's in heaven. And the bottom line is when we worship and our speech that comes out of it, we're to remember that we are speaking with God. He is high above it all. Therefore, let us approach Him reverently and not flippantly with our words. You show me somebody that calls Him, he's just the old man upstairs. Excuse me, friends. You should not talk about God that way. He is high. He is holy. He is above it all. And when we talk, by the way, that ought to bless your heart right there that He even gives us the time of day. Amen. I mean, He begs us to talk to Him. Did you talk to Him this week? Did you? If you did, were you flippant? Was it, well, I'll just say whatever I want to say? No. When we realize it's Him, we come into His presence in humility, reverence, respect, remembering He is above it all. Third thing about worship is found in verses 4 through the first part of verse number 7. Here it is. When you consider worship, it ought to be sincere from the heart. It ought to be done when we remember, as we remember His position. He's high above it all. But number three, here's something about worship. Keep your vows to God. Keep the vows. Verses 4 through the first part of verse number 7, he talks about vows. And here's another aspect concerning our worship of the Lord. We are to keep the vows we make to Him and not try to back out of them. These verses tell us it's better not to vow than to vow and not pay. Then in verse number 6, it tells us not to have our mouth cause our flesh to sin. What's that mean? Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. And in context, he's talking about making vows to God and keeping them. You know what it means? It means don't talk yourself out of what you said you were going to do. If you said you're going to do something, ask the Lord to help you and don't talk yourself out of it. Don't let your mouth cause your flesh to disobey God. Look here, friends. There is nothing wrong with making a vow to God. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just another way of saying commit to God. Make a commitment to God. God, by your grace, I will do this. There's nothing wrong with that. Matter of fact, you shouldn't be afraid of that. But I'm saying this to you, even though there's nothing wrong with making the vow, there's everything wrong with backing out of it. It's easy. Look here, please. It's easy to promise. It's hard to come through. And God said, you better weigh your words. You're not talking to another man, you're talking to God. And when you come into Him, make sure it's from your heart. Don't just try to sacrifice without putting your heart in it, obeying the Lord. And let me say something to you. Remember that you're talking to me, and when you make me a promise, you keep it. I wonder if you made a promise to God that you've yet to keep. If you have, and if I have, it's because we've lost sight of Him. I like what one man said. He said, don't make deals with God. And if you make a promise, keep it. Don't be afraid to make a commitment. But don't make one flippantly and then try to back out of it. Let me ask you a question. When do a lot of people make promises to God? Think. When they're in trouble. And God, if you will do this, I will do this. Be careful. Because God's going to hold you to that. We learned that here. The Word of God says in Psalm 50, verse 14, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Psalm 76, 11, vow and pay unto the Lord your God. Vow and pay unto the Lord your God. In other words, God says, I don't mind you making vows to me. Promise, go ahead and do it. But don't do it flippantly. And don't do it on the spur of the moment. No, you need to weigh your words because God says, I'm taking you serious and you better be taking yourself serious. That's the third thing about worship. Let me give you a final thing and I'm done with you. That sounded bad, didn't it? I don't mean I'm done with you as fooey on you. No, I don't mean that. I'm just saying with the sermon here, okay? Let me give you a fourth thing about worship. It's in the latter part of verse number 7. It's in two words, actually three words. He says, for in the multitude of dreams and many words there are also divers vanities. Here it is now. Here's the fourth thing about worship. But fear thou God. We're talking about be ready to hear. Be ready to hear what? All this chapter. Come back tonight. I'm going to give you three more of them, okay? From verse 8 all the way down to the rest of the chapter. But the first thing we're looking at today is be ready to hear about worship. What about it? Verse 1, make sure it's sincere from your heart. Verses 2 and 3, remember God's position. He's above it all. He's not our equal. Number 3, make vows and keep them. Keep your vows before God. Verses 4 all the way down through the first part of verse number 7. And then number 4, fear God. The latter part of verse number 7. Solomon concludes this first section of verses by bringing it all down to these words, fear thou God. This is what will keep us right when we go to the house of God. This is what will keep us ready to hear what He says. This is what will help us remember His exalted position. This is what will help us keep our vows. Our worship of God should definitely lead to our fear of God. Psalm 33:8 says this, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of Him. This fear of God is standing in awe and reverence of Him. And by the way, this fear also means to be afraid of. It does mean that. You ever heard this? You shouldn't be afraid of God. Really? The word fear does mean respect. It does mean reverence. It does mean stand in awe of. But it also means this, fright. Afraid. Let me tell you what, why we have so many Christians today who are living like the world, because they're not afraid of God. And I'm going to tell you something, we've lost the fear of God. As somebody's put it, it's the kind of fear that this person felt at the Grand Canyon. He says this, it's the kind of fear I felt at the Grand Canyon, where I was drawn to the amazing beauty of the Grand Canyon. But I also felt a realistic fear at the danger, because people who acted foolishly near it have died. Wow. That's the fear of God. That you're drawn to His beauty in reverence and awe and wonder, but you're afraid to disobey. God, give us that kind of fear. As we move on here, I'm just about done. I got a half a page left. It's a big page, but it's a half a page, okay? As we look at this first section, verses 1 through 7, about worship and the right kind of worship. See, Hebrew worshipers in Solomon's day forgot God's holiness, His power, and His authority. They offered heartless, mindless worship, flippantly tossing around vows, going through motions with no intent to obey. The temple back in this day became a place of business and negotiations. There were lots of words, not a lot of listening to God. The worship environment became a show for political and financial purposes rather than a return to personal purity. And worship is not the act of appeasing God. It's the act of adoring God. It's not the act of negotiating with God, but the act of bowing before Him in radical surrender and submission. Therefore, sincere worship flows from real love rather than forced obligation. It's offered gladly, not given begrudgingly. It is a want-to thing, not a have-to thing. And it's deeply meaningful because it dramatically upsizes God and downsizes us. It's authentic from the heart, free-flowing. I'm paraphrasing all of this. And cannot be held back because it's so overcome by God's unspeakable gift of salvation. Insincere worship, to the contrary, attempts to exploit God. It hears the word but does not intend to obey it. It gives ritualistically but not generously or lovingly. It's all talk but no heart. It makes a show of vows and external achievement, but it has a very light and thin view of those commitments before God. This worship essentially views God as small and self as big. It attempts to manipulate God in my favor. And when we peel back the outer layers, this kind of worship is basically self-worship because it's self-serving. In the end, self is the beneficiary rather than God. But to counter this, which is what we're talking about this morning, let's look at sincere worship, just summarizing it here. This worship authentically adores and fears God. Sincere worship bows before a greater God, submits to His greater good, receives His abundant grace, celebrates His incomprehensible grace, and obeys His good commands willingly and gladly. A vow made in this context is a sacred thing. Words uttered in His presence are to be thoughtfully expressed. The heart attitude is drastically humbled. Life actions are brought willingly into submission. This worship views God as very big and views self as very small, but a very grateful servant of God. Now, I said all that to say this morning. Do you really worship God? Are you really, truly worshiping God? If you are, it's not an outward show. I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. It's an inside thing. It's from the heart. It's not a show. It's sincere. Number two, talking about this fear of God, if you're truly worshiping God, then you will do it with a reverence for who He is. He is in heaven. I am in earth. Therefore, let my words be few. Wow. If you are, number three, you'll make some vows because you'll want to do something for Him. But you're not going to make it and then try to back out of it and say, I didn't really mean that. No. You will make the vows and you'll stay on your face and ask God to help you keep them. And number four, you'll have a healthy, truly healthy fear of God. You'll love Him. You'll be drawn to Him. You'll adore Him. You'll worship Him. And then at the same time, you'll have fright with Him. You'll be afraid of Him to the point that you're afraid not to obey Him. This is the first part of this chapter. And we ought to be ready to hear that, amen or not. We ought to be ready not only hear it, but hear it to obey it. And may the Lord help us see this. Let us truly worship God. Amen. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, would you bless? Help us, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Now is the time for those who are following the Lord in believers' baptism. Now is the time for you to make your way and get prepared. But I wonder this morning, has God been dealing with you? Has God been dealing with you? I wonder today if God is speaking to you. Has the Lord helped you? Has He drawn you to Himself? The Lord has already saved people today. We give Him glory and honor for it. And as they begin to play through softly, I wonder if God is speaking to you. I wonder if the Lord is speaking to you. I wonder if God is dealing with you. You say, Pastor Jody, I'm not sure I'm saved. I'm not sure I'm a believer. You're among friends. We who do, there was a day when we didn't. There was a day when we had to respond and ask Jesus into our hearts. And now we just invite you to the greatest decision that you will ever make. And that is to put your faith and trust in Christ. If you're here today and do not know the Lord, when we give the invitation, I want to invite you to come. We'll have a man with a man, a lady with a lady, or a couple with a couple and point you to Jesus Christ. Well, maybe today God's speaking to you as a Christian. And He spoke to you specifically about your worship. That yes, thank God you have a desire to worship God. But maybe today you learn something about true Bible worship. That true Bible worship is from the heart. It's not outward, it's inward. Maybe you learned something from the Word of God today that you're to remember that He is God living in heaven. He's above it all. Or maybe today God spoke to you about keeping your vows. Maybe you've been a Christian that's made just hasty vows and you've not been keeping them. And God says, you know, you made that vow to me, even if it was years ago. God may have reminded you of it today and says, you've made a vow to me. And I want you to know something. I'll help you keep it if you'll let me. Keep your vows. Some of you need to make some vows today. God, I'm going to vow. I'm going to promise you that I'm going to... And fill in the blank. But make sure you're serious about it. Make sure you're sincere in it. And ask God to help you keep it. Maybe some of you just need to say, God, give me a fresh fear of God. And all of you. And a fresh fear. Standing in awe and being afraid. Asking you to help me see you for who you are. Father, would you take it and use it, I pray. And as we prepare for these new believers who have come to follow the Lord in believers' baptism, may there be a great movement of God here. Thank you for what you've already done today. Those that's been saved, those who need to be saved, I pray, God, that you'll help them to come. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary is going to begin to sing. And if God is speaking to you, if you need to be saved, come. If you want to come and just ask God to help you, you come. If you want to come and say, God, make my worship genuine, make it sincere, make it right, and help me to approach you right, you come. Let's all stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take it, please, in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes closed. Brother Gary singing, "You Come Now," please. Would you do it?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
Thank you. You may be seated. Ushers, you come on. I'll give some announcements as you come. For those who are working in Bible school, remember we have a meeting today at 5 o'clock in the chapel, and we've got some new things for you. It should be an exciting time. And if you're working in Bible school, make sure you're there at 5. And then one other announcement I want you to know, or is dealing with Bible school, we have flyers. We have thousands of flyers available. If you're driving in, don't come in an empty car. Fill it up. Go to your neighborhood. Get the kids to come with you. And these flyers will be no good after Saturday of next week. So take a bunch of them, hand them out. Let's get folks here. It's going to be a great time. 6:30 each night, Monday night through Friday night. Of course, there will be no Wednesday night service because of that. Now, next Wednesday night is July the 4th. In fact, all day it's July the 4th. And we're going to have a special service out at the Mullins Farm. It's going to be an exciting time. And the service will not be here. It'll be there. And we need you to sign up. We're going to have a meal. We'll provide all the meat, the hamburgers and the hot dogs, but they will be Nathan's hot dogs. There'll be some great hamburgers. It's going to be good stuff. We'll have some games there for you starting at 4 o'clock. We'll eat. We'll have the service right there outside at the farm. It's going to be a great time. If you're planning on coming, we hope you will, please sign up on the bulletin board so we'll know how much food we need to get. There is no cost to you. We do ask you to bring a dessert and a side. We'll provide all the meat and all the fixings, and we'll provide the drinks also, okay? If you have any questions about that, just let us know, and we'll give you that information. Lord, we do thank You for a great day today. Thank You for these who have come to Christ today. Their names were written in the book of life today. My, what a wonderful thing. And we pray that they would go on for You. Pray for these being baptized now, that they too would walk in newness of life. Bless this offering. Bless those that give, we pray. God, just continue to have Your hand upon our church. Give us a great week of Bible school. May many names be written in heaven in the Lamb's Book of Life this week, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Nevaeh. She's one of our bus children. Said she got saved a couple of weeks ago here at the church. Let us never get over that, friends, you know. Praise the Lord for it. And today she's coming. She's been dealt with. She's following the Lord in believer's baptism. I remind you, just in case you're not all that familiar with it, baptism has nothing to do with salvation, nothing. Baptism's like my wedding ring that I have. This ring does not make me married. My commitment to my wife makes me married. But this ring is just a symbol that I should not be ashamed to wear, to let everybody know that I'm a married man. And I'm not ashamed to say I'm a married man. And I'm wearing this as a testimony of that. So this is just her letting us know she's trusted Christ, and she's not ashamed to tell you she's done so. Isn't that great? And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus, in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. God bless you. This is Whitney Cox. She was up at the tent meeting last Friday, right? Last Friday. And the Lord moved under that tent. And she just wanted to nail down that she knows she's going to heaven. And she knows now, without a doubt, that heaven's her home. And she wants to come and follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And I'm so happy for her, so proud of her. Thankful for her and her family to be here. Good to see her granddaddy back with us today and coming to see her get baptized. God bless her. God bless Whitney for this, I tell you. Praise the Lord. Upon your profession of faith and obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in you. God bless you. So happy for you. Okay? God bless you. Brother Roger, Miss Sandy, that's a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can both come down here with me. Y'all got time for this, right? Amen. Don't ever get over this, no doubt about it. Just stand right here with me. Two more steps, okay? One more round. This is Ernest and Connie Tarbox. That was their granddaughter, trusted Christ during the service today. And Ernest trusted Christ recently, and this is his wife, Miss Connie. They're following the Lord in believers' baptism together. Isn't that great? We give God praise for it. I want you to see them together here. These are my buddies. They have a talking bird. They really do. Beautiful bird. I don't know why I'm saying this, but anyway... They told me a story. I'm going to go ahead and tell it because I tell you, I love this story. They told me that talking bird, they raised the wind and they started screaming out, help, help. But anyway, that is great. I'm so proud of them, no doubt about it. I'm going to ask Brother Ernest just to stand back here and I'm going to baptize you first, okay? This is Connie. And upon a profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, blessed Holy Spirit. If you'll bend your knees, okay. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk. Stand right here beside me, okay. Now, this is Ernest. He came forward several services ago and thought he was just trying to get his heart right with God. We followed up in the home and talked to him about salvation. He let me go through the whole gospel plan with him there at the lunch table, his kitchen table. This man can cook, by the way, I'm telling you. And after I got through with it, he said I wouldn't go to heaven based on that. And there at his kitchen table, he put his faith and trust in Jesus. He's following the Lord in believer's baptism. And upon your profession of faith in the Lord Jesus and obedience to his command, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the blessed Holy Spirit. Bend your legs, please. Buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in the newness of life. God bless you. Happy for you, folks. God bless you. Look.
That is what it's about right there. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Amen. They're up here smooching, so let them smooch while I get in front of them. That'll be good. This is Ethan Gregg. Where's Ethan? There's Ethan. Brother Buchanan standing with you. Came on bus route number one. Been dealt with. And today, Ethan, you are asking Jesus to come to your heart. Is that true? And you mean that, right? We're so happy for you. Amen. I want you to listen to this. Listen to that. Go help yourself. That is a great thing. Hey, I'll tell you this. They're shouting glory up in heaven right now.
Amen.
Because they're so happy for you. Praise the Lord. I think we'll keep them buses running, folks.
Amen.
No doubt about it. Brother Buchanan, if you wouldn't mind, go ahead and take him out. Thank you for being here. Remind all the VBS workers, the Vacation Bible School, the meeting at 5 o'clock today. Be back in your place at 6:30. We'll continue with this chapter. Give you three other things. If you're visiting with us, thank you for being with us. Please go by and get your free gift. Even if you did not fill out a card, that's okay. But at least go by and say, I'm a guest today, and we'll give you a free gift. Please take advantage of that. And these folks that made professions of faith today, trusted Christ, God bless you. We're so happy for you. Amen. Let me have Brother Larry Stover, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, sir, please.